Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Wrestle Talk podcast. I'm Ollie Davis, and I'm joined by Luke Owen, D.A.D.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you?
Another podcast, another gadget. Luke is so happy right now because he's got a little gadget to play with.
So, listeners, previously when we have done... So the way that the live streams work is that Ollie is hands-off.
Oh, yeah.
And won't do anything regarding what the actual sort of like production of the show
is. It's not my job.
It's not your job. It's not your style. It therefore sort of falls to me. So what we've been doing previously is operating it through a wireless keyboard that I would sort of like click on one of the scenes and I would then just use the down key and it would go across. However, that would sometimes go a bit nipples north because sometimes something else would get clicked up, which means I'm no longer then on the pressing down onto the next scene, or Pete sets up a shortcut that down sends you to something else.
He keeps us on our toes.
Exactly, yeah.
There's all the Bluetooth connection issues sometimes.
There was that as well. So now I've just got this little Stream Deck thing here and I can just press buttons. And it does all the things that we need it to do. For example, if I press, you will have just heard bloop with The Undertaker.
What else can you play?
I can play this.
Pardon my lewdness. I got a boner for that.
Nice.
And I can also play this.
I'm an ass man.
I hope that worked, you know. I hope, like, the podcast listeners are not going to just hear blank dead air. And you can get some of this.
No, it 100% should have worked. Speaking of our audience enjoying the content that we put out, I'm on fire with my segues today when we were doing Cineworld.
You were. I didn't bring that up. But,
some really good tenuous ones.
You know, I was doing my very best to send that taping off course. And every time you were just like, no. Like, I put an arm around me. No, stop it. Maybe that's the dad in you. It's the dad powers.
Oh, I reckon it is. My dad vibes, yeah. Like Limp Bizkit. So we had this email in from Garrett, who says, hi, Luke. I will say, first off, Garrett, you did send this to the wrong email address.
Come on, Garrett.
support@wrestletalk.com.
You're going to have to dox you. Have to dox him now. Read out his email address.
Hi, Luke. You were singing a bit of a song from the Muppet Christmas Carol last week, and then Ollie joined in. I just wanted to say that he did the harmony between you two. It was terrific.
Oh, that was not intentional.
Go back and listen to it. You won't regret it. People often practice for a while to get that sort of thing down. Seriously impressed.
Is he taking the mic?
The Raw intro, however, was an absolute disaster. Ollie was totally right for a while, dealing with you being an idiot, and then he started saying dolphins are fish, and I nearly rage quit. You pretty much got the right result in the end, though. Hope dad life is going awesomely. Regards, Garrett.
Whoa. Are dolphins not fish?
No, they're mammals, which is, do you know what's funny? I said to you, are dolphins are mammals? And you went, no, they're not, they're fish. And
whales are mammals.
And I said, oh, my mistake. Because I have this thing.
Dolphins lay eggs.
And I realized this about myself because I've had numerous people tweet me being like, do you know the dolphins are mammals, right? And like,
really?
Everyone has seemed to forget. I said the dolphins are mammals and you corrected me. Everyone's like, Luke, you're an absolute moron. Anyway.
I can say anything. It just goes onto you or Pete. And that's why I don't do shows with Adam, because it comes my way,
yeah.
Anything that's wrong.
I'm actually, now that I've said that, I'm just going to look at dolphins, mammals. Are dolphins mammals? Dolphins swim.
They appear to be fish-like.
Dolphins are descendants of land-dwelling mammals. Okay, so here's the fun thing about that I've noticed about myself.
Class Mammalia. Kingdom Animalia.
I basically just assume that I'm wrong on most things.
Yeah.
So if I say something and I'm not 100% sure on what the answer is, if someone says to me something that is the opposite to what I think it is, but is way more confident about it, I will just presume they're right.
Mm-hmm.
Often, I don't care enough to know what the actual answer is, i.e. the argument that we were having on Monday. Or sometimes I'm just like, oh, well, I mean, Ollie knows way more about things than I do. So I'm just going to presume that he's right and I'm wrong.
But that's not all true, is it? There's so many things that you know way more about than I do.
If someone tried to say to me, it was like, oh, hey, John Candy played Peter Venkman in Ghostbusters. I would say, no, I think that was Bill Murray.
How confident would I have to be on that? Well, because I'm pretty sure John Candy did play a Ghostbuster.
No. And I
honestly,
no,
he did.
No, he didn't. Because I can then say, because I know that's right. I know that it's true. But if you, like, in the Dolphins are Mammals argument, I don't know 100% that I was right on that.
John Candy is not a dolphin.
So, but when you say, no, dolphins are fish, I'm like, well, Ollie's got way, he's way more confident about that than I am. I'm just going to, I guess that he's right and I was wrong. When in actual, the opposite was true. I was right. And I did know the fact, but I had zero confidence in that.
I chatted you.
You chatted me?
I'm a total chad. Do you know, I've taken the conversation off in a different path now. Because this made me laugh from the AEW show.
Right.
That MJF called Darby an incel.
Yeah.
And do you know what the incels fear?
No.
The Chad. The Chad is like what they want to be.
Oh my God. This sounds like internet deep speak that is absolute nonsense. It's built on absolute bobbins.
It is. Like the incel language is fascinating.
Well, this just sounds like soy boy and all that sort of thing. Just like language that people use that means absolutely diddly dick. You know, I mean, funnily enough, alphas and betas, which is actually incorrect terminology.
So this is kind of what like the incel community has developed by themselves, like you said, a very niche insular area. And it's how they sort of, I won't go into the sort of lady stuff because that's obviously problematic. But I think
are we going to get into this? Do you remember when you and I did the film podcast and you said to me, it was like, there's this book about negging and it's a really interesting idea.
I stand by the game.
And then, I just assumed that you were right and you were talking about something sensible until I talked to a lady about it. I was like, oh yeah, my friend Ollie was telling me about this book. She was like, oh my God, that book is incredibly problematic.
Have they read it?
And it's got so many things wrong with it. And I'm like, oh, I thought Ollie was a good one. I thought he was a nice boy.
Look, if he only wrote that book and my argument about it being a great piece of investigative fiction into a community, that would stand. Unfortunately, he then went on to write books about how to manipulate women. And that kind of but I think in the moment when he wrote it, he was a pure spirit. I can't find any of these.
Right. Juan Gabriel has emailed to say, I hope you're doing well. I'm chiming in on the Power Rangers talk. I grew up on Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, Zeo Turbo, In Space, Lost Galaxy, Lightspeed Rescue, Time Force, Wild Force, Ninja Storm, Dino Thunder, SPD, and Mystic Force. Absolutely love them.
What? So you mean all of the Power... He's just watched Power Rangers.
He's just watched Power Rangers. Thank you very much for your email.
I've got it up now. Oh, we should we go into the show and then I can... We've got 5 minutes before the main one starts. But this is comparing a Chad to an incel.
This photo makes me so mad. And I haven't even got into the content of it yet, but the photo itself
is horrible.
Awful, awful business.
It's such a self-punishing community. That's how they see themselves. And that's what they think. The Chad is what they think is what women want. Look. But let's go into this. Hair has been firmly fastened to never react to wind or any laws of physics. Who's got that?
I hate this. Can we just move away from this? This is...
has figured out how to always look everyone in the eyes all at the time. Great eye contact. He's a confident Chad.
This feels a lot like people using the term beta without knowing that the person who came up with those terms has actually said, "Oh, I was wrong."
No, but this is
I was actually studying were wolves that were captive, and it's not actually what wolves do. That's not actually how wolves behave. I made a massive mistake, and unfortunately, I have now cultivated this awful community online.
We're making fun of the words. Oh, we're not embracing the words.
Thank God for that. Anyway, let's get into the AEW. Shad.
Shads represent.
Pardon my lewdness. I got a boner for that.
I did not punk. Anyway, here is the AEW show.
Should Miro beat Bryan Danielson at AEW Full Gear? He's in the finals now. What a turnabout of events. I'm Ollie Davis. I'm joined by Luke Owen D.A.D. for the AEW Dynamite Review podcast. And before we get into that discussion point, we have a word from our sponsors.
This episode of the WrestleTalk podcast is sponsored by Bosley. Now, Oliver Davis, you have got a thick, wonderful head of hair on you, know you not?
Some people have called it impeccable.
It's actually really good. Do not. And one of the reasons why is because I left it far too late. But you don't have to leave it far too late. Bosley are giving away a free information kit, a $250 card towards a procedure. They are America's number one hair restoration experts with more than 45 years of experience and has performed over 430,000 hair restoration procedures. Millions of men and women have come to Bosley for answers for their hair loss and restoration questions. They offer permanent surgical solutions such as hair transplants and also non-surgical solutions with more than 70 locations across the US, but can also deliver solutions right to your doorstep with free in-person and video consultations. Click the link in the video description down below, get your free information pack and $250 gift card. Thank you. Being today's sponsor.
Of course, just full disclosure, they weren't the people who did my hair transplant because I'm in the UK. But a lot of people were interested, like, how do you get it done? It's nice to see it can work because, and it has, you know, worked pretty well.
Pretty good.
So, yeah, go check them out. Thanks for supporting the show. Miro is in the final of the AEW World Title Eliminator Tournament. This yes. came about, of course, because sadly Jon Moxley was supposed to take on Orange Cassidy in the semis to go on to fight Bryan Danielson in the main. Perfect story there. Moxley had that great win over 10 in the first round, and Danielson had beaten Kingston in, we haven't spoken about it here yet, one of my favorite matches of the year.
Oh, I did speak about it because
you were on Saturday's show.
I was on Saturday's show with Tempo T Wrestlo. And I said, dude, there was pretty much nothing for us to talk about on SmackDown. I just want to talk about Kingston Bryan because it is. We titled it, like, was it better than the Omega match? And there was, like, a pretty lively debate about whether or not it was because it's just an incredible match. Mm. Love that finish.
In terms of, you know, what moved me more emotionally, it's not even a question for me. It's Danielson versus Kingston.
Oh, yeah.
What a guy. What a seller. Fantastic stuff. Anyway, provides the perfect story for Moxley, Danielson, unfortunately, but totally understandably, what a guy. He's taken the time out to go and sort his own problems. I fully expected Moxley to squash Cassidy.
I thought he was going to. I think had he not gone in for the inpatient thing, I think he would have 100% just squashed him.
Mm. So, we're left on this episode of Dynamite. Tony Khan has called this the toughest week of his life.
I believe the second toughest.
Sorry, you're right. Second toughest, of course, after Brody Lee's passing. Did you when you were thinking, oh, who are they going to get to replace Moxley, did you ever think of Miro?
So I'd heard Miro late last night.
Right.
So like just before I was going to bed, I'd heard that the two names that it was going to possibly be was either Miro or Punk. So I went to bed thinking to myself, I hope it's Miro.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I love Punk, I don't want Punk's like... Because Punk's not... That's not the story Punk is telling at the moment. And I would like the story that Punk is telling at the moment, if he's going for the title. Like, the story of Punk going for the title, I want it to be not just entered into a tournament at the last minute, you know what I mean, as a replacement. So I wanted it to be Miro. Also, I would like to see Miro get that elevation up, the AEW Dark elevation, if you will, into that sort of main event scene. So I was really hoping that it was going to be Miro, and I was thrilled when they announced on the show that it is going to be Miro versus Cassidy as the main event of tonight's episode.
When Miro lost the TNT title, months ago now, we were all like, oh yeah, okay, that's fine, the way he lost it, because now he can go into the main event. But that, unfortunately, wasn't part of their plans. But now it is part of their plans. And now...
Plans change, brother.
Yeah, card subject to. Now I'm genuinely... Like, does Miro beat Danielson?
Well, yeah, because I think... I think the plan is for Danielson to win. Because I think they want to do...
Yeah, you're right.
It was the plan. Because I was about to say then, so they can do Danielson Omega 2. Unless, of course, Paige wins the title, in which case you don't get to do... You'd be able to get Danielson Paige instead, wouldn't you? The reaction that Miro got on this night when they announced that he was the replacement for Mox was a genuine crowd reaction of like, yes, this is the guy that we want it to be. And when Miro won in the main event, again, it was that reaction from the crowd. I was like, yes, this is what we've been wanting from Miro. Like, that TNT title run is what we wanted from Miro. This performance here, now going into a main event, the main event guy we all know Miro can be. Not this bleach blonde video game guy that came in
first thing, where
he's like, by the way, I also play Mega Drive. I'm like, no, that's not what I want. I want you kicking people in the face and being the Redeemer, Miro. Mm. So Miro versus Paige is quite cool. Miro versus Omega is really cool. And I feel like this, Danielson's already a main eventer.
Mm.
This would establish Miro even further into that main event scene.
One of the great things about AEW is I'm now at a point where I don't mind. Yeah. If Miro wins, fantastic. Doesn't hurt anybody else. If Danielson wins, fantastic.
Yeah.
If to be honest, if they just said on this episode, yeah, Orange Cassidy, you get to go through. You don't have to fight anyone. Because it's the most Orange Cassidy way to advance ever.
And then the match at Full Gear is Orange Cassidy versus Bryan Danielson. Yeah. Oh, this version of Danielson, I want to see him have a match against Orange Cassidy.
It's so funny. Because I think Danielson wants to do a proper comedy match. But yeah, so I having said that, you know, that would have undermined a lot of the tournament, blah, blah, blah. But I still want to see it eventually.
Mm-hmm.
So really, should Miro win? Yeah. Should Danielson win? Also, yeah. Should everybody win? Yes. I win.
I mean, we do as fans win. Like, I think that's one of the strengths that All Elite Wrestling has. It's got a great depth on its roster that it's got so many people on there. You're like, oh, I want to see them in a main event picture. I want to see them in this picture. I want to see them doing this. So we are left with an option where it's like they present you a match and you're like, cool. Well, whoever wins, I win as a fan. Like, I'm not presented with an option where I'm like, eh, I don't really care. Or like, Christ, I don't want to be either of those two. I'm now going into a match at Full Gear where I'm like, whoever wins, I'm going to be absolutely thrilled by.
Both these guys. The match itself was the main event, the semi-final. Danielson was on commentary. I thought he was really good. Like, he put over Cassidy's strategy as some kind of game of poker with his opponents, which I've never thought of before. I thought that was good.
What I also really liked about Danielson on commentary is that he then basically stayed silent for the rest of the match, and he was just watching the ring. He wasn't just there to do commentary. He was there to scout his next opponent in the finals.
And I think I know what his notes might include. Number one, hit Miro in the neck.
Yep.
Number two, hit Miro in the head.
Mm-hmm.
Just that whole area.
It's his
Danielson's going to have such a great time with the structure of that match.
Yeah.
He wanted his catchphrase to be kick his effing head in.
Yep, and he's going to be able to do that. He's literally going to be able to kick that man's head clean off his shoulders if he wants to.
And Miro is going to chuck him around.
Yeah.
It's going to be chucking around.
And throw his head at him.
Versus, yeah. Hit me in the head.
Oh, man, I love this version of Miro.
Mm.
I loved when he was TNT champion, this whole Redeemer thing, the promo he had earlier in the night.
Yeah.
Where, like, since losing that title, his wife hasn't forgiven him. His God hasn't forgiven him, and he's now on the path to get them back on his side.
That he sees this as kind of like a gift from God.
Yeah.
Like an opportunity.
I need to find the line that I wrote down, which I loved.
I guess when you believe that you have God on your side, you can read into events whatever you want. And of course, Moxley being taken out, Miro's not thinking about Moxley as a character. He's like, no, this is a gift to me.
Yeah.
Love it.
His last line in that promo was, I will be forgiven and I will be loved.
Oh,
it's good.
Kick his head in. And the match was decent as well, I thought. What wasn't the best match on the show, but they got a good bit of comedy in early. Cassidy showed that he cared. Dived through a table at one point. Matt Hardy was a nice red herring at ringside, because if Orange Cassidy isn't a match, you better believe Matt Hardy's going to be at ringside going,
oh, maybe one day I'll get a victory over you.
I'm going to shave my hair for you.
That that Miro 10 count spot was super duper close.
Yeah, that was uncomfortably close.
Yeah.
But Miro, yeah, chucked him around. Really good stuff.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Let's get into your Omega chats, see what everyone's opinion is on Miro. Nick Corvello says, hot take, I think Miro is going to win against Danielson. Would love to see him reference the Book of Revelation, the part where Satan is referred to as the dragon. Yeah, because you get like...
I was trying to make a connection there because I'm a bit thick. It took me a little while to put them together.
And Miro equating that to God, telling him he needs to slay the dragon to redeem AEW and get gold.
Oh, that's nice.
That's really nice, Nick. The Guilty Hat. I fully expect Mox to beat Brian. Miro, I think you mean there, by ref stoppage. So we could have Mox versus... Oh, expected, so past tense. He thought... Mox was going to beat Brian by ref stoppage, so we could have Mox versus Hangman for the title and Omega versus Brian for bragging rights. But I'm now less certain with Miro. Would love to see him win. I just don't think his character is beating Brian just yet.
There is, I mean, of the two, I think I'm probably more 75% confident that Brian is winning. But that 25%, that can grow in the next week or so.
Yeah, it's on paper when I think about it. Miro's got a big weakness. Danielson's undefeated. Danielson's expertise is exploiting a body part. Brian's going to win. However, me in the moment, I don't think Captain America's going to die when I watch a Captain America movie, but I'm still invested when he's clinging onto a helicopter or something. He will face Adam Page. Surely Page is winning at Full Gear, and I don't want either man to lose that match either. There are so many matches where it's like, I just want both to win.
I mean, I don't know who is doing the predictions next week. It's tough. Some of those matches, there's one match on the card that I'm actually confident in. Like if I was to get like first pick, there's only two matches I would say that I'm actually confident in winning. Baker retaining and the Inner Circle Jerks beating America Top Team.
Yeah. Charles Berg, to me it doesn't matter who wins because they're both awesome. One of my favourite things about AEW is that the wrestlers generally act like real people. What a concept! Also, what Pete did was incredibly unprofessional, absolutely disgraceful, Jam. He's well within his rights to do that sort of stuff. I am his man, Seven. And I was naughty. J.S. Wooten, no matter who wins, Paige is facing a heel because American Dragon isn't a face. Also, Luke, do the damn deal and save Ollie already.
I'm working with lawyers. I'm trying to bug Pete by playing him Limp Bizkit every day.
Look at him with his impeccable hair. The bow tie throws it off. I think it works, actually. Aaron Smith, a quick look at cage match, and I was surprised that Brian and Miro only faced each other in a singles match once before. I'm flipping hyped for this now and hope Miro wins. He deserves it after his TNT title run.
Yeah, it's wicked. That sounds like when Brian first came back as well, and he was just like, oh yeah, well now I'm wrestling, I just want to wrestle everyone. I'm just gonna have a match on SmackDown with whoever, with Andrade, why not?
Off the top of my head, I think it's like May 2018 SmackDown Money in the Bank ladder qualifying match.
Have you already looked that up?
Off the top of my head. No, I did a similar thing. I was like, because I was trying to write a joke, oh, it's like an alternate version of when they had the match in WWE. But no, they only had one match. They never did a few. I guess they were more like passing in the night when Rusev was called up, Brian was out.
Yeah.
And finally for now, Eternal Blue. I was there last night. The moment of the night for me happened after the show. Brian stayed in the ring and called Justin Roberts in, and they had a long diatribe about being fired in 2010 and played around with choking him out again. Justin was hilarious.
Ollie came in this morning and was like, did you hear that they did the spot that I booked in my Brian Danielson AEW review? Yeah. In your, let's be honest, streak through the Fantasy Booking Warfare tournament.
Thank you.
I mean, you demolished everyone.
Yeah, and Miro.
Yeah, you did. You beat a very game, Alex Queen of the Ring. You beat me, who...
Yeah, I didn't think you put the effort in that one.
You know, I need a time off. And you demolished Laurie, who pretended that he didn't want to win.
Yes.
I really didn't. But like Laurie genuinely, I mean, in me it'd be like, oh, I mean, I don't really care if I win. But he cared if he won. And I think he's actually a little bit salty that he didn't win.
I haven't actually spoken to him because I've got to be honest, I feel awkward. I feel bad for the guy. But yes. Before we get into the full AEW review, we've said it already, Bosley.
Bosley indeed are today's sponsor. I actually think it's Bosley.
Oh, sorry. Bosley.
Bosley. I believe it is anyway. Are sponsoring today's show. If you need to get yourself hair transplant surgery, they are America's number one hair restoration experts. They are America Top Team. America Hair on Top Team. Huh? Can have that for free. 45 years experience. Click the link in the video description down below. Get yourself a free information pack, $250 gift card.
Yeah, so many people have asked me in the comments, where did you get it done? How was it? How long does it take to recover, etc.? How much does it cost? I just went to a place down the road in London. And a lot of other people are in, loads of our viewers are in the States. The majority are. So this is the place to go to, everybody. This review of AEW Dynamite, keep getting your Omega chats into WrestleTalk.com/support. We'll read out every single one over $5. Opened with Kenny Omega versus Alan Angels.
I mean, this match was booked to annoy Jim Cornette, basically.
Yeah.
Because, hey, do you remember back in May last year?
Nope.
When that match with Alan Angels ruined Kenny Omega's career and killed AEW dead? God, I remember that because he kicked out of the V-trigger.
Yeah, yeah.
You actually don't remember it?
No, I do remember it, yes. But I just, like, when this match started, I didn't remember it. And it took a minute for me to go, okay, it's a vendetta thing.
Yeah.
I mean, the purpose of this was to just give Kenny an easy win and to keep beating up the guy.
Against a Paige friend.
And then Paige comes out. Oh, yeah, of course, Dark Order connection. And Hangman comes out for the save at the end. It's the go-home, go-home angle. It doesn't have to be anything crazy.
Yeah. I literally wrote my notes here. They had Angels kick out the V-trigger again just to annoy Twitter. How dare someone kick out of a guy's setup move? Jim Cornette was so angry that he kicked out of the V-trigger.
A setup move that Kenny does so much, it is like a clothesline.
I know.
He uses it as liberally as an Irish whip.
I don't know why Twitter got so angry about this last year. It's like, I can't believe they let him kick out of the V-trigger. He gave him so much.
People have their own problems going on.
I guess so.
And then sometimes it flares up in weird places. I mean, just like that first match, I think we said at the time, this match, it wasn't about Kenny versus Angels. It was about Kenny versus Kenny. He treated this so blasé, arrogantly. He could have won with that V trigger, but he did like a really lazy cover.
Yeah.
Smile into the camera. So it was good. It was good heel work, I thought. And Paige just comes out, looks very confident.
Yeah, Paige. I mean, they did say, didn't they, on commentary, this is the most confident Paige has looked. It's like since starting in AEW. And I really like that.
Well, you add on the Hangman push scale. You think him being confident means he's going to lose?
Maybe he's too confident now. He's too confident now. I still don't know. I don't know which way it's going to go next week. I cannot wait. I cannot wait for this match.
Malakai Black cut a promo on Tony Khan. I don't like it when people say Tony on TV.
Yeah.
Just because it just gives me Dixie Carter fears.
He's not on TV.
I know.
At least,
that's how it begins.
He hasn't had a motorbike, like, you know, brought into the ring yet, so he can sit upon it and be like, it's so good to be king. he hasn't done anything like that yet. He's just in the back doing Sudokus or whatever nerds do.
He's doing his little result spreadsheets.
Yeah, playing Minesweeper.
Yeah. Malakai Black said, Tony Khan's banned him from ringside, but in a fantastic line, I thought, for the Andrade-Cody match, Julius Caesar wasn't just stabbed by one knife.
Yeah.
There's quite a few guys. Exactly. A bunch of guys went at him.
Also, Tony, it's Andrade. Andrade's whole deal is that he's just like, I've got friends around the world and I'm paying people to like interfere. Oh, you banned Malakai Black. There's a whole locker room of heels that I can pay off to do other things. I got FTR, the AAA tag team titles. Banned them from ringside as well, Tony, you big idiot.
CM Punk came down next for a promo, which I thought was excellent. He addressed both his own wrestling feud and the situation of Jon Moxley perfectly. I can't think of a better way to do all this in one sincere go.
Yeah, it was a really, really nice promo. One of the things that has warmed my heart over the last 24 hours since the news of Moxley is that wrestling is now in a position where we're able to talk about mental health and well-being and addictions and this and the other. On national TV, Punk came out and he cut a sincere promo about this. 20 years ago, never would have happened. 10 years ago, 5 years ago, wouldn't have happened. We're now in a much nicer place where we can come out and be like, we're flawed individuals, but we're doing what we can to be better. And so it was really nice. And then because he's that good, segueing that into continuing his feud with Eddie Kingston. It's really, really good.
There's an argument to be made that if this happened 5, 10, 20 years ago, uncomfortably recently, a wrestler would come out and bury them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, okay. I know a lot of people have said, hey, in some other company, I'm not saying that company, but in some other company, they would have turned this into an angle. Mm. Let's not kid ourselves that when Mox does feud with MJF again, that MJF isn't going to bring this up in a promo.
Also, I guess, like, Punk did that promo on Jeff Hardy when he had left the company for the TNA, and it was about his battles with drug addiction. But, you know, that was 10 years ago. People change, but a little bit of, you know,
it's different place, different time.
But yeah, the content of this promo was effectively, there are two people who aren't here tonight. One of them is Jon Moxley. And he was like, Punk just said, can everybody be quiet, please? Because I want to say, and the crowd was just like, sorry, Punk, sorry.
Yeah,
I don't want to chant for you.
Stop chanting my name. I want you to chant this man's name instead. And they were like, okay, Mr. Punk, we'll chant that name then.
And he just said that he's so, but like this idea of being a tough guy all the time, Lord knows that's happened to him, not with addiction, but with just through injuries, really. What was the metaphor that he used? He was on the hamster wheel or something.
Oh,
he kept
right,
on
yeah,
going
yeah.
Round, round, round. It's hard to get off. So loads of respect to him for not being here. And then he segued that in to, but there's someone else who isn't here. And it was never overtly said, because it is a very delicate issue. But to me, that was Eddie Kingston. You've spoken about being depressed as part of that feud with Bryan Danielson. You walk around saying you're a tough guy, but in a sort of little crisis of character confidence last week, you came and shouted at me with all this tough macho guy bull S word.
I don't like being interrupted.
Yeah.
It was my premise. That segment. Mm. You watched the whole thing, right?
The match, one of my favorite matches of the year, the segment after with Punk and Kingston, so brief, it might be my favorite segment of the year.
Was incredible. So good. And I thought Punk was amazing. I thought the way that Punk and Shivani sold it was so good. Kingston shouting off Mike, I didn't, like, did you see me tap out? Then why'd you ring the bell? All this sort of beautiful, beautiful stuff. And, you know, the end of this, Punk was like, you know, he's not here. I'd love to fight him, but he's not here. The crowd started chanting Full Gear. I say the crowd. A portion of the crowd started turning Full Gear. And Punk was like, hey, you know, maybe at Full Gear. But we're going to go to St. Louis first, which is this Friday on Rampage. He's like, and I'd like to have a chat with him there. Hmm. We're going to get on Friday.
Oh, my God.
A CM Punk Eddie Kingston promo segment.
Be in a wedding.
It's the thing I'm most... That's got Johnny Hungy versus Adam Cole, which I think is going to be super fun.
The Budge.
But, oh man, I cannot wait for Kingston Punk.
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
On the Rampage thing, it is a bit of a weird one. It's live. So Rampage wasn't taped after Dynamite this week, as is the norm, because originally Full Gear was meant to be this Saturday. So Rampage was going to be like the live hot go-home show. Full Gear's the next night. Or was it Sunday? Can't remember. But it was this weekend. But that was going up against this huge UFC card and I think something else, maybe a boxing match. So yeah, they've moved it. So that you've got this weirdly live Rampage.
Yeah. Robert Aquatic here has suggested that you cancel the wedding.
It's not my wedding.
Well, yeah, well then, you know, can't get them to move it. Hey, they moved Full Gear.
Yeah, so, well, they moved it twice already because of the pandemic. What's one more?
Third time's a charm.
I'll just be in the ceremony with my phone watching it.
Apparently, is it in St. Someone said it's pronounced St. Louis. Not, I thought it was St. Louis.
Meet me in St. Louis. St. Louis, Missouri.
I don't know.
St. Louis, St. Louis. Randy Orton's from St. Louis.
St. Louis Dangle.
Miro cut a promo. This is when he announced he'll be in the main event. That after the tough guys CM Punk promo, you cut back to the Bucks and Adam Cole, and they're like, we're such tough guys. Surely that was planned.
Yeah.
And they would, you know, boast in being heelish. Luchasaurus comes in, Christian comes in, they brawl into the sort of arena. Jungle Boy flips off the stage. And ultimately the baby faces stand tall.
Yeah, giving Adam Cole a concerto.
Mm.
Yeah. Which is, you know, that's a big time thing. I'm actually quite annoyed he's wrestling on Friday. I think that's the sort of thing you should have as like a big... If you're going to do a concerto, you need to make it mean something. As opposed to a guy who wrestles 2 days later, I would argue. Two things I wanted to mention about the Moxley thing just before we move on from that completely. The report is, you know, this is what Meltzer was saying on Wrestling Observer Radio, that the idea was Moxley and Kingston were going to turn heel, and they were going to go on a heel run together as a tag team, right?
A personality change. But you can see the seeds that have been planted. I think so,
yeah. There's no way no one's going to boo Moxley when he comes back. So what do you make of that first off?
I think the idea of a heel turn would be fantastic for those two. But yeah, I don't think it's going to work now. You just have to, like they've changed course here, you're going to have to change course again.
Agreed. But the other thing I wanted to talk about is the report that a sudden Kyle O'Reilly's contract also expires in December, which means that the original lineup of the Undisputed Era could make their way to AEW. Bobby Fish is already there. Adam Cole's obviously there. Kyle O'Reilly comes in, which means you could set up the Elite versus the Undisputed Era.
I mean, there's the seeds are there also for the Cole heel, not heel term, whatever it is. But I always saw that as Cole breaking Omega away from the Bucks. But yeah, now we know O'Reilly's contract is coming due. You got to think, it's that. You've also got Owens, Steen in January.
Mount Rushmore. And to be honest, if I'm, and I'm, I can't speak for the man, I don't know what his situation is, but if I'm Kyle O'Reilly, I'm looking at the scenario that I'm currently in, where I was a lumberjack last week on Halloween Havoc, so unnoticeable as a lumberjack, I didn't even spot that he was there. I don't think I'd be re-signing.
You got to get out of there. Yeah. We had two video packages on the sort of TBS title matches. One for Statlander, Ruby Soho here, which is on Friday, I think.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Then we got FTR versus Aerostar and Samurai Del Sol, who you might recognize as Kalisto from WWE.
He's still doing his lucha yeah. thing.
Lucha Forever. FTR, you know, this was okay. I didn't love this match.
I like the idea of FTR in AAA. Mm. And FTR is the AAA tag team champions because they're so un-AAA.
Yeah.
And it should be brilliant, right? Like them
they're
facing
not
off.
Lucha.
Like then they are not Lucha. They are not flips. They are just fists. It writes itself. This match was fine.
Yeah. I said in my review, like, what sadist looked at FTR and was like, you'll love it in Mexico. We're going to give you an extended rundown there. But I think, you know, that they probably want to experience that for themselves. So I think they're into it. I noticed on their gear, they had the US flag. And you got to think that's in your face. We are the foreign heels in Mexico. I hope when they're there, because I think they're doing tapings this week, they refuse lucha rules.
Yeah.
So in Lucha Rules, as soon as you get out the ring, that's a tag. But all their matches, they should be like, we're the champions on our terms.
Where are the tag ropes?
Tags, yeah.
Give me them tag ropes. Did you see Danhausen, before he got injured and stuff, he didn't have any tag ropes at the show that he was doing. So he grabbed a streamer that someone had thrown in off the floor and was just holding onto it to be the tag ropes.
Nice.
And FTR thought it was very funny.
Very good.
Apparently as well, I don't think it is Statlander Soho this Friday. I think it's Red Velvet and the Bunny.
Okay, one of the two.
It's one of the two.
FTR won. Cash Wheeler held onto the ropes with a roll-up. Darby was in the crowd watching this match.
Yeah, I wonder why he was there.
Why is he there?
Why was he there?
I think just to set him up for later. Nyla Rose and Vicky Guerrero got in Sheeta's face when she was getting her 50th plaque. I think that was filmed last week. But
it was, yeah.
Then we got my favourite segment on the show. Yours too?
It was my favourite
segment. Oh, it was perfectly laid out. Here's all you need to know. In a circle, get to choose the lineup of American Top Team. Ethan Page, Scorpio Sky, they're already a part of it. And they go through, like Jake Hager's like, I want Junior Dos Santos. Santana's called out, I've just written two question marks.
I've done the same thing I've written here. They pick Junior Dos Santos, they pick another guy.
His name begins with A. I'm not going to try and pronounce it.
I know three names from America Top Team that aren't Men of the Year. And that is Junior Dos Santos, because he's already had a match. I know Paige VanSant.
It's coming.
And Jorge Masvidal! Those are the only three names that I know.
So But then Dan Lambert's like...
Andrei Avlovsky.
Nah, there you go. Dan Lambert's like, well, Paige's boyfriend also wants to fight you. Can't remember his name either. And Paige grabs the microphone and says, I don't need a man to talk for me. Like, cuts this great promo.
I'll take all five of you on.
And then the crowd, like, everyone's like...
Jericho grabs the mic. Like, you're going to take all five of us on, are you? And the crowd reacts to it. He's like, I mean, the joke writes itself. I don't need to add anything.
But he did. There's content for your OnlyFans page. And the crowd went, oh! It was great.
But the key to this, what we kind of skipped over, is right at the start, Dan Lambert is cutting his promo. He says, I founded America Top Team. I'm the number one member of America Top Team. Let's not forget this.
Because he was demanding respect from Jericho.
Demanding respect. And then he introduced the rest of them. So when Jericho's like, you know, I could pick... whatever that lad's name is. Jericho had no idea who any of these chaps were, by the way. So he's like us. He's like, don't know who you are. I could pick Paige Van Sant. But why not pick America Top Team's first entrant, like the number one pick? And Dan picks up and he's like, no, hang on, no, not me. And he picks Dan Lambert for the team. Lambert's, everyone's reaction to this, particularly Sky and Paige, and Lambert was just so, so great.
Lambert did. Should I do this? He did. He did the spoil, but he was this. No. And it's so cathartic to watch because he portrays this character who is saying that stuff about us, about AEW fans. You're snowflakes. You just go along. You're right in your basement, and he is. It works so well because he, as a character, is that stuff.
That's why his promos have been so great.
It was Dan Lambert is one of my favourite things in wrestling, and this was perfect. And God, well, heels are a complex thing when you're older because you end up liking them, like really liking them, and you want them to win. It's very rare for me to want a babyface to beat up a heel I really like. I want to see Lambert's ass get kicked.
Yeah, and like this is, you know, we're going to be carrying on from this because the name Jorge Masvidal is still out there. And he's the one who they've been putting over as like, you know, the number one pick of this team, like the big guy. Jericho Masvidal surely is like the direction for this, for either a big episode of Dynamite, maybe like, you know, the first episode of the year big match, or actually maybe for a Revolution next year. But I'm super excited to see, because I reckon the finish of the match will be Jericho tapping out Lambert in the walls.
Or he's just about to get his hands on him, other people hit Jericho.
But like, I'm very confident that Inner Circle Jerks are winning here, because they've lost every single time they faced off against them, with the exception of, I think, Sammy beating Ethan Page.
After that, we got Dante Martin with Leo Rush, and Matt Sydal's backstage with him. He says, well, I've got Lee Moriarty under my tutelage now.
Love that.
So, you know, Matt's brother's injured, Dante's brother's injured, and they put them with other guys. And they'll have, presumably, an insane tag match. I think that was for Rampage on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Jamie Hayter taking on Anna Jay in the first round of the TBS tournament.
Uh-oh, sounds like someone didn't like this match.
Oh, I didn't. No, it wasn't very good. And Britt Baker and Rebel were outside. Of course, they interfered to cost Anna Jay the win. Ty Conti made the save. She got beaten up. Thunder Rosa made the save. So in-ring-wise, it was fine bordering on sloppy, which is not something I usually notice, so it has to be pretty bad for me to like go, but just from a booking perspective, why isn't Ty Conti out there?
Great question. I follow up. Why of all the people they had out there is Thunder Rosa the one that's standing tall when she's not the one who's challenging for the belts at the pay-per-view? She's challenging. She's got Hayter in the next round, but like... Ty Conti, the challenger for the women's title, was out there and she got her ass kicked.
Yeah.
And Thunder Rosa was the one who made the same. Thunder Rosa was the only one who felt like the star of that group. And I'm like, well, you're not on the pay-per-view. Ty Conti is. So like, surely you'd have booked it the other way around. Thunder Rosa runs down to, like, you know, beat up on Jamie Hayter because they're facing off the show. And then Ty Conti, the number one contender for the belt, comes down and she's the one who stands tall at the end and pointing at Baker. But then it was Rosa who was doing this at the end.
Yeah. It was badly booked, I think.
Yeah, it really was.
And it just comes back to the thing we keep on harping on about. You don't see this kind of sloppiness booking-wise in the men's division. And you've got your female stars there. Shida, Deeb, Baker, Rosa, Soho, Statlander. Focus on them. I know you've got a TBS tournament, but I just feel like it's getting in the way of a really concise, great division.
Yeah. This didn't work for me.
No. Jade Cargill got a promo on the TBS tournament. Did she say she's when she wins it, she's going to rename it?
That bitch show.
That was good.
Yeah. Which I believe is actually what the Big Show show was going to be called originally.
The bitch show.
The bitch show show.
But then, arguably the second greatest thing on this episode, MJF comes out, cuts this searing promo on Darby Allin, calls him an incel. He's called him a school shooter in the past. Like, he's really going close to the bone there. But then he brought it back to wrestling. I think this is a masterstroke. He said, ultimately, at the end of the day, I'm a better wrestler than you are.
Yeah.
I can beat you with a headlock takeover.
I love that. It's like, people forget, because I'm such a good... This is brilliant. It's like, because I'm the best talker in this company, people are so used to people who are only good talkers and then can't wrestle. And because I'm the best talker in this company, people expect me not to be a wrestler. Turns out I'm actually the best wrestler here as well. So I'm going to beat all you are. This is a great Ric Flair to Mick Foley line, which is, you know, you could take a lot of shades from this as well. The glorified stuntman that you are. And, you know, Darby got to cut a very small promo where he was like, we will have a wrestling match and I will beat you in a wrestling match. Who do you have win?
MJF.
Yeah?
Yeah, always. I think, you know, ultimately, he'll probably face Punk.
And I would like it especially if he wins by cheating as well. Mm-hmm. Like, he uses the dynamite ring. Because, like, it's wonderful heelness. I would beat you with a headlock takeover. Also, I'm going to use the dynamite ring. Yeah, and Wardlow is going to be... Yeah.
Perfect, yeah. But Darby said, but right now, I'm going to get my rage out. And he went to chase off MJF. Sting's there with a load of guys. They stop the Pinnacle from helping. They have a pretty cool brawl. There it is. So, yeah, we've got... what I like about this so much is that Darby's thing is, I can rise above your words and your bullying. And I will just wrestle. And that's because usually this kind of blood, it felt like a blood feud. MJF was going so, so hard at him. And usually that would necessitate, oh yeah, he's going to snap. So to turn that into a lockup, you know, we always complain about these two are in a blood feud. The match begins, lockup. Like, come on, you want to punch the guy. But they've done it where that's the noble thing to do.
Yeah. There's a moment during this brawl where MJF was like on the guardrail, you know, sort of like, oh man, like this. And Darby walks through the crowd and he's like, you know, got the crowd parted like the Red Sea.
Mm.
And he runs full speed at MJF. And MJF will be like, no! And he like, you know, takes him over. We'll be like, I hope I don't trip him up as he does the big run. Exactly. Could you imagine if you're that guy that you do it by accident? What if someone were trying to do it on purpose? What if there was some like tool that tried to do it like to be a dick?
AW crowd.
That's what you got to trust them at. And Darby knew he could trust these fans not to be dicks.
Mm. After that, we got Andrade versus Cody Rhodes. Now, I thought this was a really good match. Really good in-ring stuff. And it was down to Andrade mostly. Like, he had every Cody usual spot. He had it scouted.
Yeah. He was really good here. Like, Andrade, I don't think has had the greatest AEW run. Like, I think it's early doors Miro levels of It's there. I'm happy that he's in the company, but it's not really setting any worlds on fire. But I think he's starting to find his feet a little bit now.
Yeah.
All it took was a little trip to Cody Island. And that's sort of what the crowd booed Cody, because of course they did, because Cody asked them not to. And so I think the crowd is just going to boo him even more. And at the end of this, because Malakai Black had been banned from ringside, FTR hid under the ring. It's technically not at ringside. They were underneath the ring. Hit them with the AAA titles, and Andrade hit the Hammerlock DDT. Get your S in, brother, to get the pin. And then they did the sort of like, you know, a sort of brawlish thing afterwards as well. The Lucha Brothers ran down. You had a stare off between Tully and Arn, which I wanted to do as the thumbnail for this show.
And the title was going to be Arn Anderson versus Tully Blanchard at Full Gear. Book it, Tony, you coward.
Why?
Because everybody wants to see it.
Do they?
Arn Anderson versus Tully Blanchard with a Glock.
Are you saying that? Are you in that mode because you love that ending on Botchamania so much?
I love anything Arn Anderson at the moment. And yes, the very final ending of the most recent Botchamania is incredibly funny.
Ollie has played it to any single person that comes to the office.
Hey, come watch this, And then the final segment, of course, Cody lost that one, that we're going to talk about, was John Silver coming out saying he's going to beat up the Budge on Friday. And it made no sense to a lot of people, I imagine, but I found it funny.
If you're watching BTE, I guess it's probably loads of sense.
I
only reckon it's something on that, or there's maybe it's something on a Twitch stream or something.
Oh, you don't know what it is?
No.
Oh my God, it's so funny.
Okay.
Yeah, so the Dark Order, they try and recruit everybody, mm-hmm. and John Silver and, oh my God, what's his name?
Reynolds.
Alex Reynolds. Go to recruit Adam Cole. And John Silver's just going on one of his comedy rants, and he's like, the problem is, if you joined us, we've already got an Adam in the group, so we'd need to change your name. I was thinking, and he just goes through all these stupid names, and he's like, the Budge, and he's like, and we can cut your hair as well because Hangman's got long hair. So it's
that
all
was
a
the joke.
Joke
about WWE. They were going to cut his hair and rename him.
Yeah. So that's it. But yeah, I don't think they should have done this promo without some on Dynamite setup.
It's AEW's problem they've had since day one is that despite the fact they've got hard evidence to show this isn't the case, they think everyone who watches Dynamite watches everything that gets put out. Like, I imagine if you ask someone, they'd be like, oh yeah, no, everyone who watches Dynamite watches Sammy Guevara's blog. Everyone watches BTE, but like, there's like hard numbers to show that's not the case. So then you have segments like this. Love John Silver. And a Scooby-Doo what he was talking about. So in fact, he's facing Adam Cole. And I just wrote in my notes, must be a BTE thing. I haven't seen it in months.
Yeah. Definitely make references, like subtle references to the wider universe that make those, you know, people who view that stuff, it rewards them. But I'd never just behave like your main show's viewership know all that stuff. I think it's quite self-indulgent.
Yeah.
And we'll work against John Silver trying to get over.
Well, I thought Budge was his name. When the way he was cutting the promo, I thought it was him. And actually, some of you like, it's a reference to budget cuts as well, which I also didn't pick up on. So like, I thought his name, he was calling himself the Budge.
It's a good name.
This didn't work for me because there's no context. You're asking your audience to watch everything and then not, but then they'll almost be like, well, why aren't you watching everything?
Me and Tempest reckon Adam Cole's name should just be The Boom.
Oh, yeah, I heard.
overall, I gave it 4 out of 5 because it's AEW.
So, do you know what's funny, actually? So I put this up on the community poll. Don't look. I mean, you've already seen the result. But when we do Raw, everyone says, like, solid episode of Raw, 3 out of 5. Everyone says the same thing about Dynamite. It's like, solid episode of Dynamite, 4 out of 5. And that's what we got again. 55% gave this 4 out of 5. 25% said it was a 5 out of 5 show.
80% gave it 4 or above. Wow.
Yeah. 15% said it was 3 out of 5. So there's your 95% and above is for 3 to 5 out of 5. People very much enjoyed this episode. Mm. Solid episode of Dynamite, this.
Well, before we get into all your wonderful Omega chats, let's thank even better than all of you, our Patreons.
Yes.
Our pledge hammers on Patreon. If you go over to WrestleTalk, if you go over to patreon.com/WrestleTalk, you too can get a shout out on this very show, like the Findicator, Finn Brennan.
Yeah. The Cyclone, Brandon Sayers.
Yeah. Thanks, Brandon. The British Bulldog, Philip Boy J. Smith Jr.
I think actually I'll be able to play the music now.
Oh.
Because I've got a little thing here. I mean, I can do this. Put up Riker. I'll be able to play music for him in the future.
Let me play with it.
No. Fantastic. Where are we? Fantastic Mr. Good Old Fox.
Yeah. He's a sexy man. Not an Andrew Gross man.
Yeah. He's no jackass, Dano.
Yeah. The roller coaster, Robert Acosta.
We'll always mark out for Ollie Landrum.
Yeah. WrestleTalk's personal ring announcer, Rodrigo Benitez.
The Vision, Adonis.
Yeah. Ryan B. Bad.
And finally, for this Hall of Fame class on the 4th of November 2021, Chris, the Cypriot Sensation Patro. Wonderful.
Let's get into your Omega Chats. Perseus M. As much as we can hate on Gamer Miro, only a true gamer could come up with the Twisted Templar challenging his own god. Really? I think loads of people could come up with this narrative. Well, you know, you do you. Van Twinblade.
Only someone who has played Streets of Rage 4 and its hardest setting could come up with this.
Van Twinblade. I'm going to Friday's show in St. Louis. Eddie versus Punk is going to be awesome. Sure is. David Johnson. Respect for CM Punk for not putting himself in the tournament and making the crowd chant for Jon Moxley. He has a great balance of being a main event wrestler and putting the other talent over. And he looks like he's having fun doing it. So this is one bit we didn't mention, actually. Punk said that he wanted to be in the Eliminator tournament, but he said he can't because he wants to finish this with Kingston. So he told the crowd, so boo Kingston.
Yeah.
That's a heel turn coming.
Yeah.
When Punk tells the crowd to do, it's not like Cody. Please, can you boo my opponent?
Yeah, please boo the, please cheer for me. It'd be ever so kind if you could just cheer for little old Cody. Don't you forget that the reason you're in them seats is because of me. Don't you forget that.
Hey, you, take my shoes, please.
Please have my shoes. Just give me a little cheer. Just a crumb of a cheer is all I'm after.
Nick Corvello. Hey, guys, just got up. Actually, and you're still live. Yeah, there's a time difference thing this week.
Post the videos earlier, Ollie!
So one or two more Omega Chats before I head to work. I'm still kind of irked by Punk's promo practically insulting Kingston for lacking work ethic and using his statement on Moxley to lead to that. So I'm actually hoping in the Punk-Kingston segment on Rampage, Kingston calls out Punk for burning every bridge after retiring from wrestling and stabbing Colt in the back and scoff at Punk talking about loyalty and dedication would be a mic drop.
I mean, if there's one person who would bring up the cult stuff, it'd be either Kingston or MJF. I don't think they'll touch it with a barge pole.
It's a bit of an elephant in the room, isn't it?
A budge pole.
Budge pole. Nick Corvello again. Paige Van Zandt is a great promo. Between that, her look and her experience, AEW need to sign her and develop her. Women's division would benefit.
She's great. Yeah, she's a hell of a promo.
She's got a good charisma about her. The legit underboss, Daniel Lambert, having a breakdown, screaming, "My face isn't that fat," popped me so hard.
I don't know why people don't like Dan Lambert.
I know.
There are people, there are some of it I get. There are people who are worked by Dan Lambert. But there are other people just like apparently SRS thought that the segment was really juvenile. Like, yeah, that's sort of the point, though. Like, it's supposed to be juvenile. I imagine it's because SRS likes MMA fighting, so we want them to all be taken seriously.
Yes, potentially, yeah.
But the whole feud has been juvenile and silly.
I love it.
Nick Corvello, why the hell, whenever Shida is getting an accolade celebration like her one-year title reign or a 50th win, does she get interrupted? Oh, well, preface that, Nick. Everyone gets interrupted on Dynamite. Unless you're CM Punk, everyone gets interrupted. Can't she just get one night where she can enjoy an award? At least her booking is better, so I haven't had to complain. Lakshinam Narasham B. Solid episode today. Like the opening match in the MJF segment. Great promo from Punk. Also like the Concher Boom segment. Miro is back. Yay! The FTR match was meh. Good match aside, Cody's babyface pop was great for the one day it lasted.
I mean, he was still getting booed a lot.
But he had that one babyface moment on Rampage.
He did.
Aaron Smith. I was thinking at Revolution, the Elites lose an 8-man tag with Kenny getting pinned. Post-match, lights go down. When they come back up, Kevin Steen is in the middle of the ring staring down Kenny. Triple superkick to Omega by Cold Young Bucks. And Mount Rushmore of Wrestling are reunited again.
I don't want so close to the Adam Cole debut. I don't think anyone should debut as part of that faction, actually. Yeah. I think singles debuts now.
Alpaca Nation 87. Good golly. Sure can't wait to see Brian and Miro beat the holy hell out of each other. Loving the more and more pissed off Punk is getting. Lastly, so is Andrade in the House of Black, or is it just a mutual hate for Homelander? I mean, Cody. I think it's Andrade's paying him, right?
They've just said they're mates.
Yeah. Andrade's definitely paying FTR.
Mm. I love everybody involved, but I don't think the relationships are clearly defined enough for...
In a Cody feud. You sure?
Cody's like, well, I've got my stuff down. Everybody work around me.
I mean, you are all heels. Ergo, you come against big baby face Cody Rhodes.
Look, I've drawn a smiley face next to my name.
Yeah.
They're going to cheer me.
And there's a couple of angry faces next to yours. It all adds up, if you ask me. Will Campbell. Hey, guys, loved the show last night. Punk's promo was powerful. Darby kicked MJF's ass. Jericho calling out Lambert was hilarious. Also, am I mistaken? Did FTR come out to the Midnight Express theme? Because I know JR mentioned Giorgio Moroder.
Yes, they did. It was a remixed version of that.
Yeah, well, they've been doing that for a while now. Ket, Hangman Page is so hot at the moment. He's just great. He's got... Apologies. Who's messaging me on Discord? Now I'm live. He's just so great. He's got to win at Full Gear. I can't see a future where they prolong this further without the heat dying off.
Heat died off over the last 2 months. They brought it back. You can just ignite it again. I think lose.
Do you know who it was that messaged me?
That's him.
Pete.
What's he saying?
He's just messaging me the script I've got to record later.
I've got my bow tie on still.
69 Intangible Sadie Deegan. Hey guys, does Pete need a nap? He's not a little cranky boy. He's just had 2 weeks off. Happy to see Mira in the world title convo, but RIP to the Fruit Man. Self-confident Hangman is the best. I screamed, hold it tight. You've got 10 days. Luke D.A.D. made Ollie's pretty titties and love y'all.
Don't object to 5.
The ad nap too. Did they ever pay off Billy Gunn attacking Paul White?
I thought probably on Dark, right?
Hey, you've got to pay off Chekhov's gun club. It's pretty good. Kevin, every time someone does a huge run in the crowd like Darby did, my mind always goes to, imagine if there's one son of a bitch that trips him up and the spot is ruined. Thank God for these crowds not being a-holes. Also, Miro as the first challenger for Hangman Page. Yes, please. Nate S. I was thinking that Mox may come back and use his absence for a promo against Punk, especially since Punk and Eddie are getting into it. Like Mox saying to Punk, we're not friends. You don't need to speak about me or fight my battles. Not sure how I'd feel about it.
Mm.
Brian Moore. I need Hangman Page video package with the Johnny Cash I Won't Back Down. I'm way more excited for John Silver versus Budge than I should be. And I know you guys think that Pete looks like Silver, but I see Pete more like a happier Only Lorcan. He definitely looks like John Silver, though.
I would, for Johnny Cash songs, then I see a darkness, and then I see a darkness, but I know that I still love you.
I just think, like, surely The Undertaker has got, like, the monopoly on using Johnny Cash songs for video packages now. Yeah. Ain't no grave, no holding body now. Legit Underboss, Matt Taven and Mike Bennett versus the Young Bucks versus Red Dragon in a custody of Adam Cole ladder match.
What have I become?
My Swedish friend. My wife can't listen to that song anymore.
It's too sad.
We went for our life insurance meeting before we bought our house. It's very sad because it's basically just sit there and you just talk about, so here's what happens if you die or if one of you dies and this and the other. So you just talk about like your partner, the love of your life dying for a couple of hours. Then we got to the guy that was the first song that came onto the playlist. My wife just burst into tears. She's like, well, now I can't ever listen to this song again because it's connected to this meeting. Kid Phantom V3. With Kevin Owens, Steen, Kyle O'Reilly, and ROH of Matt Taven and Mike Bennett, all of Adam Cole's faction boyfriends are going to be with him in one place. We were talking about this on the Friday show, me, SB3, and Chris Van Lee. Sort of fantasy booking, yeah. All of Adam Cole's boyfriends fighting for his affections. Outback.
He's so pretty.
He's such a pretty boy. It's no wonder.
His eyes.
It's no wonder there are so many men that were willing to fight over him. Outback in Nation 87. FTR actually, glass up the nose, had the US flag on one knee and the Mexican flag on the other knee, Ollie.
Well, cool.
Matthew Robinson, Luke, you are right. I really want Hangman to win. Love how they said he has confidence. Do you think it's time?
No.
Love the CM Punk backed up Moxley. Truly incredible. Also, now we get Danielson versus Miro. Simply this company. I know it'll probably be Danielson, but I think it could be Miro's time. And lastly, from Micah Pellegrini, hey lads, is the American spirit something Cody has won through kayfabe means? Has he lost the American spirit to black and will he lose until he's found it? Can the crowd help him regain the American spirit? These are the things I think about.
He's got something, hasn't he?
Cody?
Yeah.
He's got his little piece of paper.
Yeah.
And he has written Cody Rhodes, brackets, babyface, close brackets, versus heels.
The TV show. And he will lose those first two matches.
Yeah.
But he's going to win at the end. So overall, he lost.
Yeah.
But by the end,
America wins.
Yeah. So how long has this stream been going on for?
It's
over an hour. That's all we needed. Luke's got a theory that streams over an hour do better. We're at 1 hour, 8 seconds, 14.
Yeah, that was a theory that me and Ollie had yesterday in our one-to-one.
We were having a drink.
But thank you to today's sponsor, Bosley, for sponsoring today's show, because of course they did. They are America's number one hair restoration expert, America's up top team, if you will, 45 years experience. Click the link in the video description down below for a free information kit and $250 gift card towards a procedure. Please, you just click that link as well, because like even if you're not that interested, clicking the link really does help us out. It helps out our sponsor as well. Thank you very much to them. Tomorrow, in theory, unless she cancels on me at the last minute, like she has done does over the last couple of weeks, it will be the return of the Team Danuk mailbag show. Not the mailbag show, the Team Danuk show on Fridays. And we'll be joined by Alex, Queen of the Ring.
I'm cuter than her. Remind her that I beat her.
Yes, I will remind her that you are both cuter and you beat her in the Fantasy Booking Warfare tournament that we all cared deeply about.
I did when I won.
Actually, no, in fact, everyone did. It was just me that didn't. I thought Denise was going to win. So it's me, Denise, and Alex tomorrow. And for you time zone dorks that are complaining us being an hour late, it'll be at your regular time. I get to do the show an hour early, and it's wonderful. So that's tomorrow. And then on Saturday, Wrestle Dorks, Pete and Tempo T Wrestler will be doing the SmackDown and Rampage review. I'm sure they'll have a lot to say about AEW Rampage and that. Mwah. Punk versus Kingston segment. Had a very interesting email as well, actually. I'm not going to I won't read out who this is from, but it was entitled. I'm not going to dox them. A complaint.
Oh, no.
But it was interesting.
Definitely dox them.
What I found fascinating about this is that the person who emailed in has been listening for a long, long time. It's a name that's cropped up a lot in our emails across the way, but they're actually complaining about After Dark. Oh. Wrestle Talk After Dark. And the main pause of their complaint is there's no wrestling talk on it.
Oh, interesting.
Which is fascinating because the whole point of After Dark is that we didn't want to talk about wrestling. The whole idea of it was to talk about anything other than wrestling.
Yeah, we explicitly ask, can you submit non-wrestling questions? Yeah. It's usually video games, books, films, stuff
because
like that.
Because we talk about wrestling a lot
on
other shows. That to do another show talking about wrestling is...
Yeah. We'll just be repeating our opinions from elsewhere as well.
Yeah. What have you got planned for the weekend?
I've got a wedding.
Yes, you have. You're off tomorrow, in fact.
I'm the master of ceremonies.
Oh, I mean, you saw how good my brother was at my wedding.
Yeah. I think I'm just going to play it really straight. Don't do a single joke.
Smart.
But the last call I do, I'm going to, at the end, say, thank you very much. I've been YouTube's Ollie Davis. Like and subscribe.
What will they know? That you are a YouTube and what a like and subscribe means.
I've got 1.1 million followers on YouTube.
Yeah,
but they must know who I am.
Are they in the room?
No. Well, it's a lot of school friends. I know very well half the people there. So I think that's okay.
But do they know what you do and what a like and... Like, it's you saying to me, like and subscribe, mm-hmm. is funny because we make fun of that because that's what YouTube wants you to do. And it's very funny and it's very silly. But if you're not watching YouTube on a regular basis... If you were to say to a group of people who are, and I would say this with all the will in the world, all the politeness in the world,
Italians
in their mid 30s, if you were to say like and subscribe, will they get the joke?
A better question.
Yeah.
If they don't get the joke,
yeah.
Do I care at that point?
I mean, you shouldn't be drinking that much if you're emceeing.
Hadn't crossed my mind.
You really shouldn't drink much at all at emceeing. Because it's a big responsibility.
But I'm not. Did your brother do jokes and stuff? I can't really remember.
No, he just played it straight. But he's like, you know, he's so likable that everyone just sort of warmed to him.
I've got an uphill struggle with the likable part?
Not at all, because you're a likable chap. But if you then start drinking, and then like you'd be like,
okay, everybody. Just want to say I love this moment right here. Babies aren't vegan. We've all agreed that babies aren't vegan.
A dolphin is a fish!
Anyway, it's a happy couple. Like, you know what? You don't want that scenario.
No.
So, I mean, practice with me. Introduce the happy couple.
Here are person and person and their first dance.
Are you doing it? Is that the tone you're sticking with?
That's like my calmest, nicest voice.
Yeah, but you're also a YouTube presenter. Like, have you got some pizzazz?
You just said draw back on the YouTube stuff.
I didn't say draw back on the YouTube stuff. I said draw back on references to YouTube.
Luke, you're genuinely making me nervous about this now.
This is fun. This is delightful fun. I'm just going to keep saying the opposite.
We've got to do the show. We've got to go.
I'll be back tomorrow with Denise Salcedo, unless, of course, she cancels on me at the last minute again. But we will be joined by Alex, Queen of the Ring, on this show, which will be excellent. Thank you all so much for listening. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.